Before we begin, I would like to ask that if you like the show, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. It helps feature us more and gets us more listeners. We really appreciate it. Hey, everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today?
I am great and well rested.
Great. Well, those are good things to hear. I am hyped up on caffeine.
Well, that's what happens. You spend all weekend at a comic convention.
You act like I'm some kind of nerd or something, Matt.
Oh, not at all.
No.
Nerds never go to comic conventions. Never, ever.
No, never, ever. We're talking about episode 709 today. It is Call of the Simpsons, the seventh episode, written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Wes Archer. Swartzwelder is the most prolific writer. We've touched him on before. Wes Archer, another big-time director, has done a lot of episodes. Originally aired February 18th, 1990. The chalkboard gag was, "I will not draw naked ladies in class." It's a little risque.
It is, and I mean, come on. Everyone wants to draw naked ladies in class. What else can you do in class? Learn?
I know. Learning. Overrated.
Especially in elementary school.
Yeah, especially, yeah, you are right about that. Couch gag was kind of nothing. They just sit peacefully. It was, that was the gag, is that nothing happened.
Subverting your expectations already.
Yep.
So meta.
So quick. The episode is kind of starts with Flanders-Simpsons rivalry touched upon again. This is kind of the first time they've gone back to it since the first episode. Simpsons roasting on an open fire. We see, you know, it starts with Bart pushing, like, the super old-fashioned lawnmower with the rotating blades.
They're called real mowers, and real men still use them, just so you know.
I've never seen them in the wild, Matt. Are you saying you still own one of those things?
No, but I considered it, because I really hate mowing my lawn with a gas mower.
It's either Rod or Todd Flanders. I don't think they actually identify him by name. Has a nice, you know, riding lawnmower, and Bart's pushing this old crappy one. And then Ned pulls up in a really, really nice RV. You know, he is perfectly nice about it. I didn't sense any kind of like condescending. Yes, there was none of that in his voice. Did you sense any of that? I don't think I sensed any of that.
Not really. I mean, he's obviously trying to show off a little bit, but he's not like, "Hey, look what I have that you don't have."
Yeah. And Homer immediately like takes it as a horrible insult and decides he's going to go buy himself an RV. Which is my favorite segment of this episode, his interactions with Cowboy Bob.
Oh, they're by far the best.
Yeah, a.k.a. Albert Brooks making his first appearance on The Simpsons. He's made multiple guest appearances throughout the years, and he's always a great job because he's, you know, one of the greatest comedians on earth, probably.
True, and honestly, if that man has never been a used car dealer, wow, he might be in the wrong business. Because he sounds exactly like every car dealer I've ever talked to.
Yeah, he immediately plays right up to Homer's insecurities, wanting him to, you know, he understands that he wants the biggest RV, the best RV, and he shows him the ultimate behemoth, which is the one that's a step above Flanders' RV.
I don't know about step above, maybe like 20 steps above.
Yeah, it's two stories, has its own satellite, not just satellite dish, own satellite.
And four deep fryers, one for each part of the chicken.
You know, they take a tour of this really nice RV. Cowboy Bob's laying it on thick, and they get into the office to check Homer's credit to see if he can afford it. And this is my favorite line from this episode. When he types his name in, hits enter, and a siren goes off with a flashing red light on top of the computer. And Homer asks if that's a good siren. And I think we have this clip. We're going to hear it right now.
Is that a good siren? Am I approved?
You ever known a siren to be good? No, Mr. Simpson, it's not. It's a bad siren. That's the computer in case I went blind telling me sell the vehicle to this fella and you're out of business. That's what the siren says.
Oh.
Seems the ultimate behemoth is a wee bit out of your price range. And wee bit is me being polite. You couldn't afford this thing if you lived to be a man.
It's an excellent, excellent little scene with Cowboy Bob going, "If I went blind, this is just to make sure I don't sell you something."
And of course, he only has to check the credit because he doesn't own the place. Long story.
Yeah, that's also really great. It has his name on the sign, but I don't own the place. And Homer's upset and sad because he's not getting the ultimate behemoth. And Cowboy Bob's like, I can show you something that's in your price range, which is the most crappiest looking RV you've ever seen. It's leaking and it sounds like crap.
There's a branch sticking out of the radiator.
Yeah. They went full on board. Hey, make sure this looks awful.
Make sure this looks like something somebody died in the woods and they towed it back and now we're going to resell it.
Yeah, and I believe that Cowboy Bob goes on about how I'm only going to sell this to you because this is the only thing you're going to walk out of here because literally this is the only thing I can sell you on with your credit.
You will never own a better RV, and that's not me being nice. This is the best you'll ever do.
Yeah, this is the best you're ever going to get in your entire life. Completely playing out that used car salesman thing, and he suckers Homer into buying this RV that they drive home. And he pulls up to it and, you know, tries to shoot it off to Flanders. And Flanders actually is kind of nice about it.
Well, it's funny because, like you said earlier, Flanders tries not to be condescending towards Homer when he's shown off his RV. And Homer, of course, being Homer, takes it in the complete opposite direction. Just tries to rub in how great his RV is. And Flanders, being a nice guy, is like, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I do want to note, there's no sign, still no sign of kind of the religion aspect with Flanders. You don't really see any kind of that. It's actually kind of the opposite, really, of what he becomes he's generally not really a kind of materialistic guy late in later seasons. He's kind of a nice guy.
Yeah, he's I think in one of the commentaries for the first season, they talk about how he was intended to be that perfect neighbor guy that we all have, who is, you know, completely put together, his family all loves each other, they have all the nice stuff, despite not seeming to work very hard, and then as time goes by, he just becomes more and more of a caricature.
Yeah. From this, they basically directly disembark for a road trip and a camping trip in this RV. And this is kind of where the show kind of hits that, at least in the second act especially, it kind of hits that kind of standard trope of TV sitcoms like, hey, they hit the outdoors. But then, of course, everything falls apart, which is kind of the catching point why they're the Simpsons, everybody else is it. They play the What's That Odor road trip game, which turns out to be Homer's feet. And I think this is the first appearance of Are We There Yet? I want to say, is that, have we heard that before?
I believe so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, this is the first time we hear that, Homer ends up, like, pulling the RV off of the road into, like, down a dirt road, and then through the woods, and then through a body of water.
It's an all-terrain vehicle.
I guess so. And then just starts and floors it, apparently. And the whole family's frightened to death, and they tell him to stop, 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 stop. He's like, okay, and he stops. And, of course, the RV is precariously balanced on the edge of a cliff. Everyone scampers out, Homer being last. He says on the count of three, they run away on one. And he's just left in the RV alone.
Which, to be fair, was probably the right option, seeing it has it. It completely falls over the edge, literally less than a second after Homer gets out.
He gets out. He was the ballast that was keeping it on that cliff.
Essentially, yeah.
If they got out, they should have grabbed onto the back end. They should just held on with their hands. That would have been enough, right?
Sure. And then they could have just sat there for the next, you know, week while waiting for someone to come tow them out.
Yeah. No cell phones at this point. So they probably had no chance. But that is a little nice. A lot of this episode is really sight gags. It's not really heavy on, like aside from Cowboy Bob, there's not a whole bunch of, you know, super clever dialogue. It's really a lot of really funny kind of sight-gagging stuff. And this is one of them when we see the RV we get a long drawn-out shot of the RV just falling silently through the air and hitting the ground thuddily and then exploding.
Because all cars explode.
All cars, something. Everything explodes. Well, I would believe it with that RV.
That's true. There's no telling. I probably had a propane tank in there.
I know. That gas tank probably was not, you know, regulation. But it explodes, straining the family in the forest. You know, they're disheartened. But, you know, Homer acts like he puts up this front in front of him like, he's a great outdoorsman. And only to, he wanders away from the family for just a second and then wallows in despair, screaming, I've murdered us all. And it echoes.
Murdered us all. Murdered us all. Murdered us all.
Yeah, we actually have that clip, so we'll play it right now.
I've murdered us all. I've murdered us all.
Shout out! Shout out! Shout out!
The family is scared. I believe Maggie starts whimpering, and Homer tells Lisa to take care of her. And she points at some circling vultures and says, look, Maggie, birdies. which is that's a great line. They kind of wander through the woods. They try and set up a base camp, but Homer builds a very, very crappy looking like little stick hut. It's not. It's like a stick lean-to built over a log.
That's what it appears to be, which, quite frankly, it seems like the worst place to take shelter.
It doesn't really make any sense. But Homer and Bart decide to, I guess, wander off to find help together. Lisa gives him some helpful advice about the stars, about the Big Dipper pointing to the North Star, and he blows off because he's dumb.
And he's not in astronomy class, guys. Come on now.
Yeah, this is not astronomy class. Maggie kind of wanders away from them at a distance, which is... And Marge is apparently just okay with that. Like, she never sees Homer, like, actually grab Maggie.
She just says, Maggie, the boys have Maggie. She'll be fine.
She's just wandering after them, like, literally, like, 20 feet behind them. And this is kind of, we follow these three groups as they go through the woods. Homer and Bart are the most hopeless of these. They try and catch food. They fail. Homer ties a snare with a small sapling. All it does is manage to fling a rabbit off into the distance. They fall down a waterfall.
Well, because he knows where he's going. He's an experienced woodsman. He has a third sense that tells him where to go, which is over a cliff into a
waterfall. Over a waterfall. Both Homer and Bart end up naked, and they use a shrubbery to cover themselves. And they get attacked by wild animals, and they end up cold and shivering in the night. Lisa and Marge have a beautiful campsite set up. They've got a nice little house built out of logs. Yeah. It's really nice. They have a campfire. Marge neatly places chipmunks in a row.
Well, you got to make sure your chipmunks are all in a row. It's like they ducks, but you know, it's a little bit easier.
A little bit easier. And Marge goes on to say, "Oh, if we're doing this well, Homer and Bart are probably doing great. He's an experienced woodsman." They're shivering, and Marge and Lisa are cuddled up next to a fire, nice and comfortable. Maggie got separated from the boys almost immediately. They thought her sucker, her, what do you call them, pacifier, was a rattler, and they ran away. She is found by a family of bears who adopt her, basically, after she puts an additional pacifier in one of their mouths.
And they take much better care of her than her actual family.
Yes, they bring her. They steal toys from neighboring camps, and you know they watch after her. And she's cuddled up with the bears in the night, so she's safe and sound. Homer ends up trying to get some honey from a bee's nest. Ends up ingesting honey and bees at the same time. Runs for his life and for some water. Ends up stumbling into muck, and it's at this point that a amateur photographer catches him, like crawling out of this mud covered in it. Talking in it, you can't understand what he's saying. Rah, 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 rah. It sounds like, and he's dubbed a Bigfoot by the media.
He was recorded with one of those wonderful 80s video cameras where the quality was just phenomenal. So, you know,
yes,
I totally can't see that happening.
Yes, exactly. So the local media the local tabloids put out a bounty for people who can capture him. Lisa and Marge find their way back to civilization. That same day. And, you know, I think this is the first time they use the spinning newspaper gag as well.
Yeah, well, no, they use it in Homer's Odyssey.
Oh, that's true. They do. You're right.
I know we try and block that episode out, but that is first newspaper section.
Yeah, it is in the newspaper section. It
really is a Simpsons trademark because their headlines are great. And the subheadlines are... They don't really have them in this particular episode because I don't believe this is actually the Springfield Daily Shopper yet. It's just a random newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah. And Marge is like, that's not a Bigfoot. That's my husband. And they kind of just run that. The last 5 minutes of this episode is just a whole bunch of gags about how Homer is barely identifiable as human.
It's true. The Bigfoot diet, pork chops aplenty. Yeah. You got to have the Bigfoot loves.
Basically, it ends with Homer in a laboratory, well, in bed, watching the news report about him being examined in a lab, and a whole bunch of scientists at a press conference, along with Dr. Marvin Monroe, who makes another appearance before he just vanishes.
He's Springfield's general-purpose scientist until Dr. Frank comes along.
That's very true. Dr. Frank's superior in every way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And they can't identify him necessarily as human, but he's certainly not a... Bigfoot either. He's in between.
Well, he is either a below average human being or a brilliant beast.
Yes, and that, and it's really like a little nice moment at the end of the episode. Marge is like, Homer's kind of distraught about this. Oh, the guys at work are going to have a field day with this. And Marge goes, oh, Homer, my brilliant beast, and smiles at him really warmly. And then she turns the light switch, and it's the end of the episode. Credits roll. And I think they reuse that a couple of different times later on in the series. The Maggie's First Word episode, that flashback episode, I believe they use that same motif to end the episode.
That's true. I mean, it's a pretty standard way to end a sitcom episode. It's just, fade to black as something important happens.
Yeah, lights turn off. I guess it's kind of a prototypical first season episode where they take a kind of a standard sitcom premise, like the family goes camping. But then they just do things that would not happen in a regular sitcom. Like an RV would not explode. They wouldn't, the main character would not be turned into a Bigfoot. A baby would not be adopted by bears.
It's like, well, honestly, I thought that this particular episode was very much in the vein of something like the Flintstones. Because it basically took, the exact same thing, like you said, that would happen on another sitcom, and they just kind of went a little further with it. Like you said, things blow up, the animals are, obviously Rian almost a little tougher to work with than animated animals.
Yes,
so
that's
they were able to work them into the plot.
Yeah.
But then they just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. It was, it's a solid one. I wouldn't put it, we will get to that in a moment. But first, we have our listener question of the week. Listener question this week was your favorite Lisa episode and why? And we got some unbelievable response for this. Lisa really strikes a chord with people just because she is really that emotional center of the family, and almost all the Lisa episodes, quote unquote, are really emotionally centered. They're usually kind of heartfelt. And we got really, really great responses. I wish we had the time to read them all. I'm just going to touch on a few of them, or a handful of them. It's hard for me to really narrow it down. We have first from Twitter, we have Caroline at Karolinski, Simpsons, Lisa's substitute, the one and only Mr. Bergstrom, mainly because it plucked at all of my heartstrings. Roger at Roger Wong on Twitter, Lisa's wedding. Because unlike the stuffy Hugh Parkfield, I wore Homer's pig cufflinks for my wedding. He attached a photo of his cufflinks, and they were the pig cufflinks. So awesome. We have the best fans. It's great. Jean-Pierre at JPX9003. Summer of 4'2", because Lisa threatens Bart with a honey bear. It's so intense and hilarious. It's like, whatever. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity, Lisa the Skeptic, her fear of the unknown and the determination to prove the town wrong was great to watch. And some great results on Facebook as well. We have Lisa's Wedding, another one. Not only my favorite Lisa episode, but my favorite episode, this is by George D on Facebook. Favorite episode of the series is event has everything that's great about the show. The humor, satire, great sentimentality. Last shot of Homer and Lisa holding hands and walking into the sunset still chokes me up. And then Dan P, the summer of 4'2", another answer of summer of 4'2", is someone who had a hard time fitting in growing up. I really identified with Lisa in this episode. Putting up fronts in an attempt to curry favor with others is something I think that everything goes through in their formative years. I think this episode portrayed that perfectly with a truly heartwarming ending. I don't know, some of the funniest Milhouse moments ever, the dud, the horseshoe crab, oh boy, a carnival, and Homer's adventures with fireworks. Summer of 4'2" is not only my favorite Lisa episode, but one of my favorite episodes, period. You guys are great. Great responses. I love it all. Keep it up. You can tweet at us at Simpsons Show Pod. We're on Facebook. It's the Simpsons Show Pod, facebook.com/Simpsons Show Pod. Email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Now, Matt, what is your favorite Lisa episode? I know this is a tough one for you.
Well, to be completely honest, my favorite is going to be Lisa the Vegetarian, mainly because throughout the episode you see Lisa grow as a person, and it's something that all of us who have vegetarian friends have probably gone through at some point. She discovers something about herself that she doesn't like. She tries to change it, and then she decides, I'm going to change it in everyone else as well. And one of the nice things is, by the end of the episode, thanks to Lyndon Paul McCartney and Apu, she realizes that that's great for her, but other people are allowed allowed to have their own lives. And I know a lot of the times Lisa episodes, like you said, are very moral and they tend to have a lesson, but that one particularly struck a chord with me.
Yeah, that's a very good episode, and there were multiple people who had that as their answer. That kind of plays on the tropes of Lisa episodes a little bit, where she actually learned something. My favorite, I'm going to go with Summer 442. I was kind of, there's a few that I was kind of torn about, but it's interesting that Bart is not the cool kid in the episode. Lisa's the cool kid. I really like that switch over. Again, there are great Milhouse moments. That the fact that Bart, he kind of humiliates Lisa in it, and it actually, it shows, you know, Bart kind of trying to redeem himself. And Lisa actually shows her anger in this. Like, it's one of the, like, that moment when she squeezes that honey bear, like, just for a second when the parents leave the room. It's such intensity, you really don't see her kind of showing that anger very much. And it's a great, and again, it's a very heart-touching ending. But there's so many good Lisa episodes. All the ones we got in responses are really good. And it's hard to pick a bad one. Really.
I do have one thing I have to interject with. My fiance's favorite episode, she would kill me if I didn't mention, because it's also a Ralph episode, is I Love Lisa. That is one of the better Lisa episodes, and it's made that much better just because you have poor Ralph, you know, his heart being broken and then remended.
Yeah, it's another really great episode. I choose you. It's really great.
Not to mention, you get to watch someone freeze frame another person's heartbreaking.
That's true. I forgot about that. That's so great. So this week, folks, our listener question of the week is, what is your favorite Simpsons vacation episode? Many good ones to choose from. Itchy and Scratchy Land? Is it Japan?
Is it Brazil?
Brazil. Cape Fear? Great one. Hard to pick. Before we end the show, we're going to do a segment we do every week at the end of the show, which is Best Episode Ever.
Best episode ever.
Well, we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically. Right now, our number one episode is Bart the General, with Homer's Odyssey taking up the rear. Where does this one lie? I would not put it above Moaning Lisa for sure. It's definitely not one or two.
It's definitely not one or two. I would probably put it just above Simpsons Roasting on Open Fire, so maybe third from the bottom. It's a good episode. Honestly, watching it the three times I watched it today, it's better than I remember it being, but it's still pretty hacky.
Yeah.
It's very sitcom-esque.
Yeah, and the animation is a little rough. It's not – there's several moments where you can tell they reused animation, and, you know, it's not super smooth. But it's certainly not bad. It's a good solid episode. I can agree with that. I'm not really too picky about this one. It's right in there. It'll be new number five, basically. So this week still leaves Bart the General as best episode ever. Maybe until next week. We'll see. What are we watching for next week?
The Telltale Head, a Simpsons classic.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good one. We'll see where that one ranks. But until next time, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.